Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. This is our weekly program covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Our theme music you heard is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. Underwriters for Art on the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, regional art patron Mary Levan, and our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. If you'd like to find out more about leasing space in this historic building, please give Walt a call, 219-462-5821. I'd like to thank them for their generous support. Thanks to Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager. Art in the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project grant through South Shore Arts and is part of the National Endowment for the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Our program, along with all of our programs, are streaming live at wvlp.org. Art on the Air is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m. Our entire show archive can be heard at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. You'll also find our detailed arts calendar at breck.com/AOTA. Our shows are carried by Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m., and you can hear them at lakeshorepublicradio.org. And make sure to like us on our Facebook page, Art on the Air, WVLP. Art on the Air is always looking for financial support. We'd like to thank our current supporters. If you're looking to support Art on the Air and, of course, the WVLP station, we'd be happy to become part of the WVLP family anytime. Esther and I especially would invite you to become an underwriter of this program in particular. We have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA. You can find out support information there or at wvlp.org/support. We have underwriter levels at various levels. You can support us. We'll mention you during our show and throughout the WVLP broadcast day. You know, we encourage you to become part of a supporter because we are supported by our listeners. So don't just be a WVLP and Art on the Air listener. Become a supporter or underwriter in whatever amount you're able to do so we continue to bring you this great content and this great local programming. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air and the whole WVLP family. Join the WVLP family today. And a quick program note, Art on the Air is altering its show format by replacing the on-air reading of its art calendar of events with a short spotlight interview with shakers and movers representing galleries, exhibits, theater, and concert venues, talking about what's going on in the region's fine art scene. But our art event calendar is not going away. It still may be found at our website, breck.com/AOTA. So keep sending us your art event information to artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. And we'll be happy to post it. Plus, drop us an email if you'd like to be a guest on the show or send us your feedback. And I'm pleased to welcome back to Art on the Air, Amy Navratilakis from Art Barn in Valparaiso. How are you doing, Amy?
Oh, hanging in there.
Aren't we all? Well, tell us about, with COVID-19 going on right now, how that's affecting Art Barn, and you still have things going on.
Yeah, we do. It's affecting things a lot. So we have had to close the barn to the public, which we really hated having to do, but that seems to be the way of things. We want to keep our population safe. So we closed our doors, and then we began thinking about, you know, the things that we could do to be engaging our audience. So we have developed some online programs, and some of those have been, been ongoing. Some of them are, they're in shorter bits typically, so we might do a video or a short course or something like that. We're finding that some of those offerings that we're offering are, they're all online, but they're not kind of our typical kind of in-depth class learning environment.
Are you doing any online classes then, or have you gotten to that point yet?
Yeah, so we have offered, our instructor, Sharon Angelina, offered comprehensive art, which is for, it's sort of a continuation of what she was offering at the barn for some of her not quite teenagers and teenage students. So she was connecting with them in a short class online. And our board president, Julia Holmes, who's a watercolor instructor, she has been doing what's called a virtual review. And so that meets on Thursdays, and the group gets together and they kind of talk about what they've been working on. So there's like a little bit of a critique, but people get to talk about what they're doing, and it's a little bit social. And, you know, that's a nice group. And it's just by donation, so you can participate with just a $5 donation. So.
Well, so you are very active in that. Now, how is this affecting the exhibits there? Obviously, I think the last exhibit you had was Duneland Photography Club.
Yeah, it was. So actually, that exhibition was kind of winding up around the time things were shutting down with the pandemic. So we wound up that exhibition, and then we decided not to hang the next exhibition, which was our children's art exhibition. And we have postponed that to later on in the summer. I think that's actually a great segue, Larry, because we're going to close down our exhibitions for the time being, but we are looking ahead. So we are planning a art in quarantine exhibition, which is all about the art that people are creating during this time. And we're going to be posting some details about that on our website and on our social media pages here real soon. We're just finishing up with the details on that. So the exhibition will be online, so it'll be on our website between August 15th and September 30th. And then, assuming that the stay-at-home order is kind of lifted and the people are going to be able to go out and about, assuming it's safe for us to hang any pieces and have people come in and look at them, we are going to hang the winning pieces from that exhibition in our lobby area. So, and it, you know, and then if, you know, shelter in place is still kind of going on in late August and September, then we'll celebrate our award winners online somehow.
And this obviously affected the juried show, which this year I'm very excited about with opening up to photography. But
I know, and we had to cancel it.
I know.
That's what's supposed to be up right now. So yeah, we were really, it was a hard decision, but we decided that we did to go ahead and cancel it this year. But that's kind of why we're doing this other sort of group quarantine show, because we thought maybe some of the same artists might want to participate. So.
And where do they submit things for that show?
It'll all be through our website. So it soon we'll have it. We're working on getting the form created and everything, and so it'll be on an online submission. People will fill out a short form and be able to submit an image through that form, and then they'll be able to pay their entry through that form. So it should be very simple to participate. So
very good. Well, that's at artbarnschool.org if you're interested in that. And Art Barn, of course, is located at 695 North 400 East in Valparaiso. And they are shut down, but they're still doing things. Amy, thank you so much for being on Out on Air and updating us on your COVID-19.
Yes, thanks, Larry. We appreciate it.
Also, the Depot Museum is having their third annual 5x5 exhibit, but this year it'll be an online digital edition. The exhibit will once again feature original 5x5-inch artworks created and donated by the generous artists. So to participate, go online to bsdepot.com. That's bsdepot.com, beginning on May 8th, right at 5 o'clock, and choose one or more of the artworks that you like, and the first one who pays for it gets the artwork. So that's May 8th, 5 p.m. Go to bsdepot.com. And our guest is Jane Crawley. She's an award-winning artist residing in Michigan City, where her studio is also located. She was born in Chicago, and we'll have her tell you a little bit about that. Jane, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Larry. Thank you, Esther. Nice to hear you.
Hello,
Jane. Aloha. Thank you.
So, Jane, tell us a little bit about your background, like where you grew up, from where you are to where you are now.
Well, like a lot of artists, I knew early on, maybe 4 or 5 years old, this is what I wanted to do. I can remember seeing a program on PBS, of all things, Michelangelo, and I thought, I know it's going to sound bizarre, but I thought, I think I was Michelangelo, ma'am. That's what I told my mother.
Oh,
and,
that's so sweet.
And so it went from there. So I grew up in Chicago on the Northwest Side. Love Chicago. I wish I had gone back there, but I'm settled here now. I do like this area. But when my kids got bigger, I thought I'd move back there, but I fell in love with this area.
So are your children in Chicago?
No, one's in the Detroit area. She's a neuropsychologist. And the other is in Illinois, and she's a mortgage broker, a senior loan officer. And I have three grandchildren, I'm sorry. I forgot about the third one there. she won't like that. And, so I'm stuck in the middle here, which is convenient.
Yeah.
So
what brought you to Indiana?
A friend, when the kids had finally got on their own, I said, you know, this house is too big for me. I was divorced for a lot of years, and I was in Illinois. And a friend moved out this way, and I came out to visit, and I fell in love with it. I felt like, oh, you can breathe out here. And you can. You know, it's like a mecca for artists, too, which was nice. And I love the lake, and I always have loved the lake, so this was great.
Excellent.
So I settled out here.
Where did you study art at?
At the Art Institute of Chicago. And then I studied privately with a man called Mohammed Drisi. And he was in Glenwood, Illinois. I believe he's still alive, but he's probably in his 90s by now. And his claim to fame was he did a portrait of Princess Grace. And it was gorgeous.
Wow.
And so how did you find him? I mean, how did you connect with him? Was it through the Art Institute?
No, it was actually my babysitter saw some of my work and said, hey, I know somebody. And I wanted to develop a little bit more. And she told me about Mohammed. And I went over to see him, and I started taking his classes. Well, I met a lot of nice people there, too. We had a nice group of students. And I'm still in touch with them to this day, which is nice. And he taught me a lot. He really did.
So more in the landscape or in the portrait or all of it?
All of it. It was almost like taking a beginner course all over again. So he started off with drawing, charcoal, still life, nude, and then we developed into he did everything in black and white for maybe half a year, and then we started to introduce color. So I took another painting class, and I learned more technique that I did at the Art Institute.
Yeah, and because, you know, there's not a – I don't think – there is a single thing that you're not extremely skilled at. I mean, your work is beautiful,
Esther.
No matter what, whether it's a landscape, whether it's something architectural, whether it's a portrait, whether it's just a slice of life. They're all brilliant, Jane.
Thank you, Esther. That's kind words from you. Thank you very much. And I respect your opinion, so thank you.
So, Jane, tell us what you work in, like what types of medium.
Mostly oil, and I've tried acrylic, but I can't. It's thin to me, and I can't fall in love with it. So I've done it, but I really prefer oils. And I work in pastels and occasionally charcoal. The charcoal I've shied away from over the years. It's what I do is a very detail oriented in charcoal, and I can't sit still very long doing that because it's just too much. So I have to get up every 15 minutes to walk away from it, and then I go back to it. And I prefer the oil paints because it's a little looser, it's freer. I might not have the control I have in with charcoal pencil, but it's a nicer feeling.
Now,
where the oils.
Where have we seen some of your work exhibits? Where have you exhibited that?
Over the years in Chicago, Enid, Oklahoma. I don't think it's there anymore. That was on River North. Indiana, Northwest University, Indiana. You know, little galleries here and there. I'm currently over in Union Pier, a local color gallery. Let's see. The usual route, as most artists do, you know, try and get into as many places as you can.
So was New Buffalo the first art gallery that you opened, or had you opened up in Chicago before that?
Before that, I had an online gallery. I represented about 13 artists, so I was one of the first ones to have an online gallery, and I also did pop-ups with their work, so I would find different menus, and I would showcase their work that way. And that developed over time, and then we did a series of prints for people, and direct mail. And I just learned that way. And then an opportunity came up in New Buffalo. Ellen Black was selling her gallery. And I said, okay, Ellen, I think I'd like to do this. So I bought her gallery, and so I had a crop of artists already, which was nice. And that grew it to over 100 regional artists, about 150 regional artists. So that was exciting work. I liked
that. It was very fabulous. And then the South Haven Gallery was so much fun as well. So when you have your galleries, were you able to paint well in the gallery, or were you strictly... I mean, was it strictly not a workspace for you as well?
It really wasn't a workspace. I had a little office in the back where I would do my paperwork and, you know, write the checks out.
That's my favorite moment. I love that moment.
I know. Isn't it nice? It really is.
So nice.
Yeah. So painting wasn't an option, really. I tried it, and it didn't work because people would come in, and then you'd have to put the work down, and it just wasn't conducive to working in, you know, oil or whatever.
I know. It's a noble thing to think that it can happen, but in reality, it's very hard to
And I'd have these grand ideas going home. I was an hour drive going home, and I always had these great ideas of what I'm going to do when I get home. You know, I'm going to start this project and that project. But by the time I got home, I was exhausted.
I know. The desire, you know, I also would have the desire to work on something, but after, you know, a full day at the gallery, it remained just a desire.
Yes. Well, Esther, I know you're working hard, and I know the hours that you're putting in, because that's what I used to do. Is, you know, it's a good 12 to 14 hour day.
Yes.
And, you know, after that, you're just, you know, you're done. You're cooked.
Yeah, because you're immersed in everybody else's work and trying to promote them, and yeah, it really.
But so, I did enjoy that. I enjoyed bringing new artists in, and I just love showcasing their work and talking about it, you know.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Jane, I see that you've had some things published. Tell us a little bit about that. I think like a Society of Illustrators and even a children's book.
I did. I wrote a book for my grandchild, Jack, my firstborn grandchild. And it's on the order of Dr. Seuss rhyme. And there's different stories in it mostly about Jack and his friends, and they're all animals. And Roger, what was his name? Oh, he was a friend from years ago. Gosh, he's going to kill me. I can't remember his last name. But he illustrated it for me. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. But I could write it. But I couldn't wrap my head around trying to illustrate my grandson.
Wow. And I see that also you were like in Chicago Magazine, The French Reader, Stanford University Medical Journal. Tell us about some of those exploits.
Well, that was kind of a comedy in errors. I don't even remember how I got that job, but I had no idea what the art director was talking about because I had never done an illustration on that kind of magnitude. So he kept saying something about two spread, and I couldn't get it. I just couldn't get it. And he didn't like the dimensions, and he was just so frustrated with me. And I finally got it, but it had turned out okay, but it was just grueling. It was, and it was at a time when I was going through a divorce. I was anxious all the time, and it just was awful. It was an awful experience, but I'm glad I did it.
Now, you're also a teacher. Where do you teach? And I know that's a passion of yours, so you know, talk about that for a little bit.
Well, I like to teach privately. With students who have some talent and who are really serious about developing their artwork. But I also teach at a Montessori school in Benton Harbor, and I teach their art program for upper elementary. And that's different for me, too. I wasn't used to teaching children. I was used to adults. And you really have to be creative with kids.
They can be challenging, can't they?
Oh, yeah. Yes. I found that out.
And you can't get away from that hour commute, can you?
No, I can't. But I don't mind, Esther. I really don't. I get to turn the radio on, and I sing, and I listen to the news, and, you know, just kind of
chill
out a little bit.
It's actually a pleasant drive to Benton Harbor.
It is, yeah. And I don't mind it at all. The time goes by quickly, and then I'm there. The hours are, you know, getting up at 4:30 is not my cup of tea, but over time I've gotten used to it. But I don't know now. It's, you know, with this pandemic, I've been sleeping until 7 o'clock, and I don't know if I'll get
out. Have they talked about anything about what the future holds for them?
Well, we're trying to, usually they have a summer camp, and they're hoping to open up for that, but we'll see. And they're, you know, hoping that people come back next year, with students. I'm sure they will. It's just, everything's up in the air right now. So we're doing Zoom classes and videos, like all the other schools are too.
Right. So with your, you do private commissions, I know.
Mm-hmm.
And so are you taking the photograph, or does the client generally provide a photograph?
I try to stay away from having the client give me a photograph, because usually they look like photographs. You know, they're suited to be a photograph. So I try to take my own photographs and get something that would look better as a painting. You know, they're two separate entities, but they're kind of symbiotic. You know, I need it to paint from, but I don't want it to look like a photograph. So when a client tries to give me a photograph that they like, it's, you know, I usually try to dissuade them and say, well, I'd like to do something different.
Yeah, more natural.
More natural, yeah.
So, Jane, we talked a little bit about the quarantine. Tell us about how COVID-19 is, impacting you personally, and how it's changed your schedule.
Well, Larry, I'm going a little loony, to tell you the truth. I'm trying to stay sane, but it's been a challenge. It really has. I like a routine, and, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people are like this. My routine is just up in the air. And so I try to get over here to the studio. I'm here now. But it's not the same, you know. Something's missing. I'm not feeling very creative right now. And I think that's because I'm not getting stimulated by the daily activities. I'm trying really hard to get back to normal. A lot of people.
What's the one thing that you miss that you can't do? From what you just indicated, but when the quarantine is over, or whenever it's over, what's the first thing you're looking forward to doing?
Believe it or not, getting back up at 4:30, which doesn't sound right, but that's the truth. Even though I gripe about it, you know, I say these terrible things when I wake up in the morning, but I like that routine. I like getting up and getting the day started. And getting on with life.
Do you have any projects that you're looking forward to doing, like that you're either working on or looking forward to doing?
Well, I've been having this idea that I was going to write a book, and I've let that slide for too long. I started it about a year ago, and I let it go. I think I'm going to try and get back into it.
What's the subject matter?
It's going to be a mystery, but it's going to have a comedic, more of a comedic edge to it.
Oh, how fun, Jane.
Yeah, I worked in an environment a couple of years ago when I came out this way, where it was just absolutely crazy. It was like a sitcom every day. And I just kept writing notes because I couldn't believe what was happening around me. And I laughed. I never laughed at a job that much in my life because it was so absurd. So there's a lot of material there, and hopefully I can get it back into a mystery novel. So that's something that's been on the back burner. So I think I'll try and start that again.
Without giving anything away, where's it set at, your mystery?
It'll be in this area, Michiana Shores area, Michiana. You know, so all the characters are from here, so, you know, I'll try to disguise them so they don't recognize themselves, but so I don't get sued.
Well, you can always add a disclaimer. This is a work of fiction. Any characters' resemblance to actual persons living or dead are purely coincidental and are products of the author's imagination. Something like that, Jane.
We'll have to write a disclaimer at the back or something.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's something
you'll put if you recognize yourself, it's probably true.
Yeah. But it's you wouldn't believe some of the people that I worked with. They were all wonderful people, but they were hilarious. And it was in a kind of a country club slash dining experience. So I don't know if you've ever worked in the restaurant business, but that's a pretty crazy environment, too. And but it's a lot of fun at the same time.
Oh, I can't wait. I would put that on the front burner, Jane.
All right. Thanks, Rester. I will. And painting, just continuing to paint my landscapes and looking for another portrait to do. And that's about it.
We might as well, at this point, just let people know how can they get in touch with you? Websites, Facebook for your art endeavors.
I'm on Facebook, Jane Colley Fine Art. And then also my website is www.janecolleyfineart.weebly.com.
Okay. And actually, I found out that you can find it without the Weebly in it, too. That's janecolleyfineart.com and on Facebook, jane.colleyfineart, and you can find out about her. That'd be great. So,
thank you, Larry.
Oh, we want to make sure we get you some work maybe while you're doing that.
Thank you. I'd love that. Thank you.
So, now you live in Michigan City and you came from Chicago. Tell us a little bit about moving to Michigan City. Was that a culture shock for you, or you loved that, or?
It really wasn't. I just fell in love with this area, and I felt like I could breathe for the first time in a long time. I do love Chicago, but when you go there, there's a different feel. You know, you're kind of looking over your shoulder a little bit, and you're just aware of what's going on around your surroundings. I'm sure we have to be vigilant here, too, but it doesn't have the same feel. It's more relaxed out here, and I find that it's delightful. People out here are delightful, too.
I don't remember the answer to this, Jane, but did you... and I know you did that, but I don't know. Are you still part of the plein air group? And I know that it's impossible now, but is that...
Well, maybe it's also
impossible now, but...
I do it when I can. They usually go during the day, so when they have a nocturnal, I'm there. So, yes and no. I try to stay in touch with them and do it when I can, but it's not that easy all the time.
Did you do the moonrise here at Breckwood?
Oh, yes, I did.
Yes.
It was wonderful. It was very nice, Larry. You have a nice piece of property there.
Well, we're very blessed being here. It's like an artistic paradise. And I know we've hosted the Ileana Artists Picnic here for a couple of years, too, as a group. But, yeah, it was fun to have you guys out. Unfortunately, the moonrise wasn't quite as dramatic as it usually is. But
Well, that was okay. It was just really nice to be in the group. And it was a wonderful night. And, it was just beautiful. And I've seen some of your pictures recently, too, Larry. They're really nice.
It's nice that I don't have to travel anywhere to get some of my best photography. It's just like right there. Go out on my outside my door, and there it is. We're very fortunate. So tell us a little bit more about what are some of the subjects that you do with, like, I know cityscapes, but kind of like some of those things that you do.
I do cityscapes, like you said. I did a series called the Red Series, and it was based on a poem by William Carlos William. I'm still doing a couple of more of those. I want to do more of that series. And it's the, I don't know if you know the poem, it's The Red Wheelbarrow.
Okay.
But it's a wonderful poem, and the imagery is great. And it's, I don't know if you know his poetry, but it's very minimalist and very painterly in a way. He just captures the right words to express an image. So I got hooked on that. So I've done maybe three or four of those, and I do love portraits. So I love capturing the essence of a person.
So, Jane, you said that you really love routines. So have you developed a routine for yourself now with going to the studio?
It's been a little lax, but I am getting back on track. As we speak, I'm here at the studio. So I'm going to start a new painting today. I just finished one of a beach scene, and I'll start a new one today. And I do my videos here, too, for the kids. I do little art projects that they can do at home. So I have all my supplies here. So that helps, too, so I can get to the studio. I'll tell you about this studio, by the way. We have three spaces left here. This is over at St. Mary's School, Grammar School, in Michigan City on 11th Street. And Kai and had this great idea of doing a collective, and it's called the Indiana Sea Art Collective. And we're trying to get more artists of a like mind over here and eventually have classes here, different kinds of art, dance. We have Brenda here. She's a wonderful sewer, works in material. Dan is my studio mate. He does giclées and he does photography. Kai, of course, is out down the hallway, and she's a fabulous artist. So we're trying to get more people in. Carol Block is here. And eventually we'd like to start an academy. So I it's a great location. It's right by the railroad tracks, so people from Chicago can come in and take classes. So we're, you know, when this pandemic is over, we're going to go full force and try and get this going here.
Exciting.
So I'm excited about that.
Would there be a place for a gallery space there, maybe, for you guys to actually have a gallery in there?
Well, if you can imagine it, we can, maybe. We're trying to work out the logistics here. We have a hallway, and Father Huber, he's been very gracious. He's been very cooperative. He likes the idea of starting an academy here. So we'll have to work that out. There's room available, I think, but, you know, when this pandemic is over, we'll have to get busy here.
Jane, we have about a minute left. So tell us any final thoughts you have about what's coming up, what you're doing.
Well, my final thought is I hope everybody stays safe. This too shall pass, of course. Keep creating. Don't get lazy like me. I'm not lazy, but I'm trying to get back on track. But and just keep creating artists out there. And we need more artists out in the world. I think artists are wonderful people.
Well, I appreciate that. We appreciate you being on the show, Jane. That's Jane Crawley. She's an award-winning artist. She lives in Michigan City, has her own studio. You can find out more about Jane on Facebook at jane.crawleyfineArts, and that's her Facebook address, or you can go online at janecrawleyfineart.com. It's a Weebly address, but you can just search it on the main thing and find out everything you want to know. So, Jane, we really appreciate you coming on Art in the Air and telling us about what you're doing.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Jane.
Thanks, Esther. Thanks, Larry.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
And I'm pleased to welcome to Art on the Air the one and only Etta Taylor from Etta Taylor Photography. She's a fine art photographer, does mostly portraiture, but other things, located in Crown Point. Etta, welcome to the show.
Hello. Nice to have you.
Welcome.
We're so happy to have you. Tell us a little bit about what inspired you to get into photography, your background, and how you got interested in fine art and that led to photography.
Yeah, actually, as you see on my bio, I had a very artistic grandpa. My French, we call it grandpapa. And since I was maybe 4 or 5, he started teaching me. He used to collect all kinds of pottery and paintings. But paintings was my most important thing that I like to see. And I learned, as young as I was, what was an impressionist painting and also a chiaroscura. Highlight shadows. As young as I was, I could see a picture. I could start to see that. So he thought I was very artistic as young. My family, I think my grandpa had like 12 grandchildren. I was the only one that would stay with him. And teaching, I was so lucky to have somebody like that in my life. And he wanted me to go and study at the Beaux-Arts in Paris. Instead, I got married very young, so I came to America. But I continued my education. I was homeschooled at home. I speak 5 languages, and I continued my education. in photography. But one thing I found out about photography, the only thing is right now you have everything on the internet. You could see that. What you're missing is the soul of photography. And right. I'll talk to you about that, who taught me that.
What impressionists actually you love that kind of inspired you?
Well, see, the thing is, what I found out about photography, okay, I came to America and I was doing pictures. I took lessons about painting and everything. But then when I discovered more about photography, what I liked photography, at that time I thought that was a democratic art. In painting, you could take somebody who's short, make him tall, make him thin, make him sad, make him pretty, make him ugly, and so forth. To me, unless you work in and you're painting nature, you can change that. I notice all those portraits. That's why I like the impressionist better. Because see, the impressionist stopped doing all that glorifying thing. He started when outside, he started to paint the way nature was. So I thought photography to me, I was so impressed. You could capture the soul of that person right there in his wheel. Although now, with digital, you could make people short, the same thing,
Yeah, but that's true.
That's what really impressed me about photography. So I studied every photographer from Edmonton, Arnold Newman, Irving Park, Gordon Park. Gordon Park is another photographer. People don't talk about it. He's the first African-American photographer to be in Time Life magazine. He was so unusual, and I studied for him. Actually, I had a chance to interview him, and he passed away. But he photographed Stephen Curry. He did Muhammad Ali. He did all kinds of things. Plus, he also was... he made the music for Chef. He used to play music, piano, everything. People like that really get it. You see, so people think a camera is makes you a photographer. It's not. It's you. Anyway.
Very good. Now, you also worked as a receptionist for one of the local photographers here. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
About what?
You worked as a receptionist for one of our local great photographers.
So when I came to America, I wanted to be home with my children, and I didn't want to go out of my house again. So in the meantime, we had a neighbor. His name was John Jolas. I don't know how many people know about him, but at that time, he was the biggest studio in Northwest Indiana. And he said, why don't you come and be my receptionist? I went. I said, sure, when my children are going to kindergarten, I could walk to the studio. I looked what he was doing. He was a wonderful man, a wonderful photographer. And he said one day, he says, you know, Ada, why don't you, when I go to lunch, do passports? I said, sure, I'd love to. So I started doing passports. But when I was doing passports, I started styling people, you know, fixing their hair, their clothing. I moved the light. And people wanted to order the passport. Actually, one day, one lady told me, if you do all of this for a passport, what if I come for a portrait? What do? I said, oh, we do shampoo the hair and all that. And she started to laugh. And so Mr. Jolas, I would call him Mr. G, he says, Ada, why don't you go to school to get a regular education on photography? Because, see, photography is two things. It is a craft and an art.
Right.
So it's even worse than even for painting. You have to learn all of that. But really, now the cameras do everything. I have my little granddaughter that does fabulous things. She's only 8. But you have to go. So I went. He says, you know, I'm part of PPOA, Professional Photographers of America. And they have the oldest school in America, in Winona Lake, Indiana. Why don't you go there? So I went my first course. My mother-in-law was taking care of my kids. It was 1 week at a time. Unfortunately, that school is no longer there. And what we did is we stayed there, and then we photographed, we breathed photography, we talked photography all day. But some of the best photographers of the United States will come so kindly and do a week long at a time. Everybody impressed me. Except the one that really got to me was Gerha Bakker. Gerha Bakker was almost 80 years old, and I thought at that time, I thought, oh no, we're going to have another old photographer that all those poses. I didn't like the posing, you know, and all that. Actually, he started to talk, and it was nothing about F-stop or anything like that. He talked what really got to my heart. First of all, he said, do you know what photography means? Where does it come from? Nobody knew. He said it comes from Greek. Photo means light. And graphy means to write or paint with light. I thought that's what I wanted to do. That's what I was looking with my camera. I wanted to do painting, but I wanted to do painting with light. And she started expressing to us, join us, what really photography is. And then one of our teachers there was from Oklahoma. He was doing also a seminar in Oklahoma. And he would choose so many students to go there and study with him. I was lucky I could go there, and he taught us what is it called? Painting with light on photography. It's the same concept that I have when you learn how to paint. You know, you learn color, texture, shape, scale, all the stuff that, I don't know if you paint, Larry, also, but all those things that you use, you learn to instruct your eye to see that. And the most important part, actually, in photography is the soul of who you're photographing. And thanks to so many other photographers there, I became then an intern there. I would go in the summer, and we had different camera rooms, and every photographer had a different style. I was so lucky that I would go and set up the lights for this photographer and the other photographer in another style. That's what I like, and that's what I teach. You know, not to imitate, but to innovate.
Well, you ask if I painted, and I don't, but my other career, of course, is not only directing theater, but as a lighting designer, and much of the things with light
but
being
there you are.
As a lighting designer, you paint a three-dimensional area with light. You paint the actors, the scenery, and things like that. So that's then my allied area. You studied at Winona. Where else did you study photography? I see on your bio you had several other places you went.
We lived in Chicago. My children were long in Chicago. I also went to beauty school because I wanted to, anything that makes beauty, I was interested. I was interested in makeup. I went to Paris and I, of the Forum du Maquillage, and I also become a makeup artist. With all the stuff that I did, help my photography is different than other people. That's what I try to explain. You know, now you care in photography, now you bring a makeup artist to me, you bring a stylist and all that. And then another lady that I read her book, and I went to Atlanta, and she had a book about the psychology of color. That was, you probably, well, you know, any artist will understand how we are, what color makes your mind, you know, when you make a photo, how to put the background that goes with that person's face, so forth. So that is, I just love color.
Now, let me ask you about the transition from film to digital and how that's influenced, if it has, your style at all.
Very much. You know, actually, I have an article here. If you like, I can tell you a few things that I wrote. You know, I was also very lucky. I was the customer of Dan Burrell Lab, and he let me go around the country, represent his lab, and I did seminar about that. And I had a program called Love, Dream, Imagine, Create, and Believe. And then love is loving what you do. Dream is follow your dream. Imagine is use your own imagination and create something that comes from your soul. And then believe is to believe that you can create and do what you love. But then I wrote that down. What made me be a professional photographer? And I realized to be a professional photographer, you have to possess the two traits, which are for any art, passion and compassion. So once you have that, then you have that to do that. So then I wrote this. 2 years ago, I bought my first digital camera. I was not happy. I resented this technology because I love my old camera so much. Then I decided to practice what I wrote. Suddenly, a whole new world opened for me. Digital actually offers endless possibility, including new lenses, new paper, blah, 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 and different things. So I was in love again. But I took a year to test the, because the film and the way the film, I mean, the camera with the film is differently than the digital. Digital, you can change it.
Did you used to develop your own film?
I did at the beginning, yes. But you have to have, you know, color, not color. I learned how to do black and white.
Color, yeah, I did.
You have to have all this, you know. But what I did is because Burrell Labs down the street from me, I would go there and they let me work with the artists there and tell them that this, do that, do that. So they knew how I wanted my background in film. Because, see, like I said, you have to have the craft. That's where the craft comes. When I first came in my camera, I would take picture, and I thought it looked so beautiful, but then under certain lights, the people would look green. It was very difficult at that time. I had an RB. It was a big camera, and you had to learn all of that. So I learned all of that, what kind of different things that you put in front of your lens. But then when I went to digital, it was raw, and it was very harsh. So it took me a year to keep testing and testing the digital to make it the way I did with film. So now when I have people in my studio, they can tell the difference between film and digital.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Do you do your own post-processing, and what do you use for that? Do you use Photoshop, Lightroom?
Yeah, we have Photoshop. I have a girl that works for me, and I tell her what to do, and we have all this stuff, yes.
Very good. You don't do your own retouching, then. You have someone else do it for you. And just to tell you, I spend more time doing that myself. In fact, I sometimes enjoy post-processing the photo that I've worked on than actually doing the photo and everything. Now, and I'm concentrating more on scenics and wildlife right now. But yeah, that there's something fun about doing that.
I know how to do it too. I do. But really, that doesn't interest me. My interest is more, I want to spend more time capturing people. And, you know, the digital, everything is done for you now. Really, it's not what it used to be at the beginning. Now we have one program that you do that and opens the eyes, does that, wipes the teeth, all that.
So who takes your photo?
I set up the lights, and the one that you see, that my son took it.
Okay.
The click doesn't make you a photographer, you know, it's how to set it up, right?
It's true.
Yeah, that's the majority of doing a studio thing is getting all the lights and or flash units set up correctly. So you have a, I remember seeing some things where people preset the thing. I said, well, actually, that's the majority of the work. Clicking the shutter is not necessarily the whole thing. So
in your commercial client list, how did it come about that you were photographing the powwows?
That's my favorite thing to do. That, and also I do the powwow. I have a friend who writes, she's writing a book on the Mishwaki American Indian tribe in Iowa. It's a wonderful tribe. They came all the way from Canada, and there were thousands. And at the end, there were only, I think, a couple of thousands. Now they're in Iowa, and the chief, who is quite old, she's writing his history. And so she said, Ella, why don't you come with me? And then you take the photos. And it's going to be a book. And I photographed hundreds of American Indians. And it just touches my heart. You see them?
Yeah. How proud. They're beautiful. They're beautiful photos.
Well, it's going to be a book. I have just beautiful, the children. And to tell you, this was a thing that really impressed me. They also do a music, you know, there. And by the way, the powwow is not only the Mishwaki. Powwow means they do them around the country, and they come from different tribes, and then they compete. So some of those, they are Cherokee and so forth. They all have different traits. Very, very proud. But really what impressed me is how much they love America after what happened to them. They love America, and then they do a music, the music for the dead, and then that's for all the soldiers for the war that didn't come back. If that includes, do you know that so many of them went to Vietnam, and they are in there, and they come, they march. It's beautiful. I just was so impressed of the attitude. The thing that I like to do is, you know, I mean, I've been doing that for 20 years. I'm working with a Leon Triathlon, and he started out, you know, doing triathlon in Indiana. Now, most of it is for our all the people from, I was going to say, for all the veterans, and it's all the new veterans.
Yeah, I love the. I really love those triathlon photos. They were really great.
And that's also when I'm doing a book. Those people to see that would break your heart. And they come in, and did you know there's one lady, she's a stroller, and she was pregnant and did the triathlon with one leg. Can you imagine? She swam with one leg. She ran with one leg. She, everything, with one leg. And then there's people that have no legs, and then they do the bicycle, you know, with their hands. And then if they have legs and so forth, you know. I mean, it's, and what I like is to see people that are not bitter. They believe in America, and it's wonderful.
And let's talk about your portrait photography. I know one of the hallmarks of what you do, of course, you're located in the courthouse in Crown Point and have your studio in Suite 304, but you use the entire building. Besides using regular traditional studio setups, you also use window lights a lot for many of your portraits.
That's my favorite way to photograph. It's the painting with light. And I have to tell you, 2 years ago, you know, somebody told me there is a contest of Hoosier Women Artists.
Right, the Indiana Arts Commission.
Right.
Right.
So I thought I entered it. Would you believe I won? I went, you know, if you're chosen, I think 360 artists. And I think the ones that won, I think there was about like 40 or something are chosen. And I was one of them. And they thought my picture that I entered actually was a watercolor because it was, you know, the way I do my photos. And all of them were painters, you know. And that's very sad that photography really is not as made important.
I guess there seems though this year there were quite a few photographers that...
Oh, did you go?
I did, yes. Were you there this year?
No.
No. You were back in the year before, right? 2018?
Yes.
Was it with what was the image?
It's an image of a little girl that I photographed. We have, there is a building in Crown Point. It's called the old nurses' home. I'm on the board there.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to renovate it to make it into an art center. Actually, it's going to be not only dance, you know, it's given to us, was given to us through Indiana Ballet Theater.
Right, with Gloria.
With Gloria, yes. I think you had Gloria. And that's what I took that picture. It was a little, I think she was 8 years old with the violin. And it's a beautiful photo. And it hangs, you know, it hangs there for a year. But what's really funny, we, all the artists would come and they said, oh, what did you use? This is a watercolor, you know.
So, Etta, if people want to get in touch with you, they can go to EttaTaylor.com. Is that correct? And they can see your things on the website. And you're also on Facebook at Etta Taylor Photography, which is spelled with ends with an I-E instead of the traditional spelling. Is that correct? I said your website is EttaTaylor.com, and they can also find you on Facebook at Etta Taylor Photography, correct? And if you're mostly doing portraits and besides the things that, but what do you like to do for fun in terms of photography?
Actually, right now I'm doing a lot of commercial work now.
Okay.
I have an associate now, Royce Photography, and we're photographing hospitals, dental, law firms. We go on location for websites. So we're working on the commercial side.
Very good. Yeah, I've seen some of that work also. So tell us in just a few minutes here that we have left that what you think, what are you looking forward to do? And one thing I wanted to ask is about the COVID-19 thing, how that's impacted you and what you're looking forward to doing after that's over with.
Well, I'm going to continue what I'm doing because right now I cannot photograph people with masks, right? But it's funny, though. I have people still calling me and telling me when they can come. Again, I have a lady that's going to have a baby, and she wants to be photographed before the baby's born. And she wants to know when I'm, you know. So thank God everything's okay. People still, I think we should go back doing what we do, what we all love, what's doing. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. I think, and we're starting to do that. I found a Chester photographer, Trent Albert, which you might know. He's doing front porch photography right now as a donation to things. So he's going on having people do their portraits from the front porch, so it's at a distance. So
yes, isn't that wonderful?
It is. Well, you know, a couple things real quick, and I know you say, you know, photography is a craft, but it's also an art. And there are kind of two types of photographers in my book. There's an artistic photographer who masters the craftsmanship, and this is what I call sometimes equipment photographers. Oh, look, I got this lens. This is da da da. It's all about equipment, but not really, really not about taking that. I don't know if you've seen that in your travels.
You know, even Leonardo da Vinci said, "You don't paint features; you paint what's in your mind." That's the same thing in photography. It's how you see people, you know.
Exactly. Just wrapping up here, Etta, any places that you are still doing classes or seminars at?
Well, right now, not at this time. You know, also, that's a long story, too. I started a school in the Bahamas with a professor of photography in the Bahamas. And I was going to go, I go there once a year, and people come from around the world. And I'm not only the only one, because the climate is so beautiful there, and they come in and we do seminars there. So that's my favorite place to teach.
Would you ever want to do that in the courthouse? I mean, people would probably come all over to come see your
things. I did that, but the problem is, to tell you the truth, right now there is 500 part-time photographers. So the studios didn't think that's a great idea. You know, I was teaching also at Purdue classes. They would come to my studio and with William Eaton, another photographer, and I would teach that. The thing is, everybody wants to do it very fast, you know. And I think everybody, if you want to get into photography, you should have a little more education in what photography is about. And that's what I teach, that part. So a lot of photographers just want to learn what app I'm going to use and you know, things like that, which is not the purpose of art.
I agree. Well, I think we're going to have to wrap it up there. We could have gone on for a long time. This is Etta Taylor from Etta Taylor Photography. You can get in touch with her at ettataylor.com. She's located in Crown Point in the courthouse on Suite 304. So thanks so much for being on Art in the Air, Etta. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for asking.
And we'd like to thank our guests today for being on Art in the Air, which is heard every Friday at 11 a.m., rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m., and Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Your hosts are Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager. Underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum and Walt Breininger of Paragon Investments. Also, Mary Levan is our art patron supporter. Art in the Air is supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant and the National Endowment for the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts-related event, exhibit, please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. See you right here next week, 103.1 FM and 89.1 FM, Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air, our way. Express yourself through art. And show the world your heart. Express yourself through art. And show the